We've spent so many weeks, haven't we, over the last months, just talking and finding out about us as individuals, where God wants us in the church, part of the community of this church. And now I want to start us to think about looking out. Okay? We've taken 17 sessions to talk about the church community. It's a lot of time, but I think it's been really good to be able to help us to find out where we are, not just in God, but with one another. Okay, and several years ago, I think it was probably about 2008, 2007, something like that. I went to a meeting at the TAB. And there was a speaker called Mark Stibbe. And his fame at that point was the fact that he was a Christian comedian. And he wasn't very funny. And he'd written some books about different things, about sort of wisecracks and things like that. But one thing, he was just beginning to start authoring books. And he's written many, many books now over the last 20-odd years. And but he was talking to us as I was part of a group of church leaders at the time, and we were listening to him talk about vision, okay, about the vision for our churches that we were leading. And he was talking about, if you don't have a vision, you'll go nowhere. You know, it's a bit like saying, if you haven't got a target, you'll never hit it. And it really impacted me, hearing him speak about having a vision for the church. And, you know, if you go to some schools, they'll have a motto or a mission statement on the wall. You go to Kenya, every school has got it outside. Achieve and excel. In God we trust. All those sorts of things are particular. I see them quite a lot in Kenyan schools. But he was encouraging, Mark Stibbe was encouraging us as church leaders to find out from God what God wanted to lead us in as churches. Not churches together, but as, you know, this church, that church, where's God taking us? And as I thought about these things, we'd been through a difficult season as a church, and I mean, church life is like this, okay? It's up, it's down, it does go in waves. And there was a wave when this room was full to bursting. I think 90 was the most we got in here. Can you imagine 90 people in here? We had chairs like this, and we had chairs down there, and we had chairs down there. And the piano against the wall there. And it was really full. And then things got smaller and smaller and smaller. And we got down to Michelle and I being the only married couple in the church. And we had 7 older people, 7 singles, 7 special needs adults, and 7 kids. And that was it. And they were difficult days. God spoke to us very clearly and encouraged us to move on. However, as I was mulling over, Lord, where are you taking us, and where have we been? I'd felt at one point that we were a little bit fractured, okay, and we were almost like individuals in the sea, just waiting to be rescued. And as I said, there weren't many of us. And when we had a meeting together to discuss the future, it was just a small little group in the corner. And it was hard. It was very hard. God was saying, I've got a vision for you. And then after a bit of time, as we were seeking God together, I felt that, oh, now it's like we're all together. We're out the water and we're in a boat together and we're sitting there thinking, isn't this nice? We're all together and we're in the boat. We're not drowning anymore. We're all together. Isn't it nice? And then a little bit later, God gave me a picture of a galleon. Now, I wonder if any of you have been to Shoreham over the last few weeks and seen the Spanish replica boat that's there. We've driven past it a few times and seen the masts and everything. But God showed me a picture of us as a church being like a galleon in a harbour, resupplying, mending broken bits and pieces, waiting for the captain to come. Hiring crew, getting more crew on board. But really, the whole thing was, we're waiting for the captain. And there came a point where we felt, as a church at that time, so we're talking about 2009, 2010, around that area, that we were no longer in the harbour, but we were on the seas. Okay? We had our captain, Captain Jesus. And together we were sailing. Okay? And God clearly put on my heart at that time the fact that we had a destination. Now, this is a bit fanciful, isn't it? Looking, we're going off into the sunset. Well, that's not what we were going to be doing. But we had a destination. And our destination was heaven. Is heaven. Okay, haven't changed. We're still destined to head to heaven. But also, we were on the lookout for those that were in the water, that were struggling, that we could get them into our boat. There were others on the boat who said, well, we want to go off and look for others in this direction. So we'd lower down a jolly boat, they'd get in, and off they'd go in their direction. A bit like Rob and True have done. Or John and Roseanne. And so, at that time, so this is sort of pre-Kenya for me, we got Rob and True on board as well. And it was a real sense of, yes, we're together, we're in the boat, we're heading in this direction. And as I say, that was a few years ago now. And I want us to think this morning about what we do together, or as individuals and together. Okay. Firstly, before we set out as individuals and we set out as a church, it's so important that we have certain things. We've talked about them for weeks of different things, and here is the key, I think. Jesus said to the disciples just before he ascended to heaven, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, our church in Kenya is one of a group of churches, but Patrick calls the church Jerusalem. And in fact, we've got a plaque at home that they gave us when we left, and it says, from Life Changing Worship Centre, Jerusalem Church. Because he knew that that was the main place. And yes, we're here. You could say this is our Jerusalem. This is our starting point. But the scripture says, you'll be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria. So it's getting wider, and it's getting wider to the ends of the earth. Okay? You. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine you being a witness in Clifton Road, in Worthing, in England, another country, like Wales, another country. I wonder, Jesus is calling us to be witnesses with the power of the Spirit. Okay? So, to go past that, this isn't a picture of the church. If you go on a cruise, Michelle and I have actually been on that boat. We've only been on two cruises, but we love them. This boat, there's 3,500 guests and 1,500 staff. And it is a floating utopia. Okay? All your needs are met as a guest. They even, each day, they put in the lifts what day it is, so in the carpet, so that you don't forget what day it is. Because it's just so idyllic, this life on a cruise ship. So you walk in, you press the button, the door is open, it's Thursday. Okay, it's Thursday today, that's good news. But the church is not like a cruise ship. There aren't the people working behind the scenes and everyone else the guests. Okay? This is what I think the... Bear with me. I think the church is more like one of these. Okay? You will not find a single person on a battleship that is along for the ride. Everybody is a member of staff. Everybody is there for the purpose of being on that ship. Now, I don't agree necessarily with going off and firing bombs at everyone and things like that, but I wanted to put it to you that we're all in this, okay? It's not just the few, okay? It's not just the ones that are working, and they're working either in front or they're working behind the scenes, but we're all part and parcel of what God is doing, okay? So, I would like to think five questions. Who, why, what, how, and when. I love these adverbs. And got the picture. That is the picture of a battleship. And that's all the staff there on that ship. I want us to think about our place in it all. In our place in what God wants to do here. But not just in, but out there as well. Okay? So, the who. Okay, first question, who? Well, that's an easy one to answer, it's us. Okay? Now you might say, oh yeah, but I'm not very good at all that sort of thing. I'm not very good at talking to people. I'm not very good at putting things into words. But like, for instance, we have our international evening, okay? We have our international evening. There are people who come specifically to sit on a table and to talk. Roz is particularly good at that. She's particularly good. She likes to sit there and she likes to chat away to people, okay? You might say, oh, I can't do that. But you could help set up. You could help in the kitchen. You could be on the door and smile and welcome people. Why? Okay. Well, we've heard, haven't we, from Acts about the fact that we will be witnesses to Jesus. But let's think a little bit about motive. Okay. Do we want to get another convert and we put another notch on our belt and say, I've got another convert, got another one. Got another one. It's not our job to get converts. It's our job to point people to Jesus. Okay? It's Jesus' job to save them. It's the Holy Spirit's job to fill them with the Holy Spirit. It's not our job. Okay? Our job is to say, this is Jesus. We might have to say, he's done so much for me. So don't think, oh, I've got to talk to this person, I've got to share the gospel with them, I've got to do this, got to do that, and then I've got to lead them to Christ, and then I've got to... It's Jesus' job. We are just a step on their journey. It might be that someone is actually ready. It's not happened here very much, but in Africa, in Kenya, you get people coming to the church. I've come to the church today because I want to get saved. Fantastic. It's really exciting when that sort of thing happens. But our motive's not to get another notch on our spiritual belt. Our motive, I think, really, is to point people to Jesus. Yeah? I get thrown out for this. St. Francis of Assisi says, I told you, if necessary, use words. What Kin told us earlier about that little girl, that little 5-year-old girl, Mummy, I want God to do for me what he's done for my dad. So in actual fact, it's by what we are, by who we are, by the way we behave, is a lot of what people will see. Yeah? Perhaps we might meet people's practical needs. You know, it's very difficult these days of health and safety to say, can I help you in your garden? And you do something wrong, and then they say, okay, we're going to sue the church for da 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 da. Can I help you? What do you need? Rob was very good. There's a lady in the bottom behind flat called Mandy, I think her name is. And he would help her with her shopping. He'd see her past the Wing Wah shop. He'd come out, oh, let me help you with that. He'd walk her home. Walk her home holding her shopping, chatting. Just sharing the Lord, just simply. Don't think God can never use me because I can't speak. You've got a part to play. So, what? What? We start where we are. Okay? I mean, we pray for people like Rob and True who've gone out to Thailand. We've prayed for John and Roseanne. In our time when we went out to Kenya, we prayed for that. We got prayed for at that point. We pray as a group for the international evening headed up by Monica at the moment. But none of that was their first dipping of their toe in the water. Okay, that wasn't the beginning. Let's think about Rob Parks for a moment. He's not here. If he listens to this, hi, Rob. Think about it. He wasn't a missionary on day one. He started in the church. He got stuck into church work. He was a nurse. That's what his profession was. And he started day by day helping in the church. Got to the point where he lived in the church in London. Felt God calling him. Responded to the call. Ended up in Thailand. But it wasn't I'm a Christian today, tomorrow I'm in Thailand. It takes time. But we always start with what we've got. Now, God said to Moses, what's in your hand? And Moses had a staff, a stick, his walking stick in his hand. And that was the thing that God used right at the beginning, just to get Moses moving. He threw his stick on the ground, it turned into a snake. Hopefully you'll all know the story. A bit later on he gets his stick and he puts it in the water and the water turns to blood. A bit later on he hits the water again, or holds his stick out, the water parts. That's what Michelle's teaching the kids downstairs today about parting of the Red Sea. He held out his stick, the Red Sea parted. He started with what he had in his hand. So what have you got in your hand? Or can we say this, what's in your heart? you might say, well, there isn't, what's here for me, we're not doing in this church at the moment, so what can I do? Well, come and talk. Let's see if what's in your heart we can do something about. When Monica was talking with me the other week about the international evening, she said, and I really want to do a film night. I thought, okay, this lady's unstoppable. But you know that already, don't you, Tom? She had it in her heart. She wants to connect people. Oh, we can do this. And then we can do this. What are we doing as a church? I wonder if there are things... I mean, you hear the notices every week. We're doing English language. And for most of you, you know it's happening and that's it. Okay? But we've got to move the chairs. Now, what happens during the week is that after the lessons, I always hoover this floor and I always set out the meeting room. What's in your hand? A hoover? Simple stuff. It all helps. We're going to have the international evening at the end of October. And in that, as I've already mentioned, there's so many aspects to it. I mean, Monica and her team, they're doing all sorts of different things. Someone handed me the quiz that I've got to be photocopied, ready for the event. On this occasion, we've got a famous speaker from Turkey who's coming to speak for about 5 minutes, isn't it? Which is great. We've got an interpreter because he's going to speak in Turkish. Okay, so Kadir is going to actually translate into English for us all. Okay. But we've got to make this room look like the international room. We've got to do stuff in the kitchen. We've got to be welcoming. Goodness me, there's so much we could do. So much you could do. Just simple stuff. Okay? Then we come the last, what day is it? 29th of November. The Case for Christ film night. Monica wants a red carpet. Like the premiere, you know? So she wants a red carpet. She wants the bollard things with the ropes between that look so popcorn, all this sort of thing, to invite people to come so that they can consider the case for Christ for themselves. So I go back to this: what's in your heart? It could be that you've got something very simple. All I've got is something very simple, Matt. But the thing is, you might not have anything at this moment on your heart to say, I want to be involved in this, I want to be involved in that. So this is the point where we say, what you've got to do is you have got to pray. There was a time when our pastor stood here, I don't know, 40 years ago? No, I wouldn't have been here, but standing at the front, and said, what is God giving you to do? And if you haven't got anything to do, go away and pray, God, give me something that I can do. And I prayed that. I went home, I prayed, Lord, show me what I can do. And within weeks, and as I've said on occasions, I was in someone's kitchen once a week refurbishing their kitchen. Because I'm a builder by trade, so it was in my hand. My tools were there. So I was able to help this person and help them and help someone else repair their rabbit hutch and all sorts of things. Very, very simple, very low-key, not spiritual, literally just going to the house, helping them. And I had other people with me as well. But it became on my heart. I want to help. I want to be practical. And the next thing I know, God is saying to me, leave your work and come and be involved in the roof, the making of this building. But what about you? What is God saying to you in terms of Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth? Good place to start would be here, Warwick Street, or Montague Street. When you're out and about, pray. Have your eyes open as you walk. You know, it's so easy to walk along. I mean, I don't know it. I doubt if any of you do this. But I see so many people walking along the street like this. You know? And they've just got their phone and they don't know where they're going. And they just occasionally look up just to make sure they're going in the right direction. But all they're interested in is their phone. But as you walk, pray. Lord, who do you want me to see today, Lord? What do you want me to see? What do you want me to do? So much we could do. We've talked a bit about what we're doing here, okay, but perhaps there's something that you think, I could really get involved with that. Last week, we had Gay Jacqueline here from Worthing for Refugees. I wonder if that stirred any of your hearts about, I could help them. I could be a befriender. I could be someone that helps them all work out on different things. Think about it. I put St. Matthew's there because they're just about to start debt relief counselling. And they're involved with, I mean, New Life Durrington do it, but St. Matthew's was just about to start. And it's come out of the fact that they were preparing and sending meals out to people who didn't have. And as they were delivering the meals, they were seeing people in dire circumstances here in Worthing, okay? And they were turning into social workers because of what they were seeing. And they were thinking, this person's in real debt, what can we do about it? So they, as a church, have now are working with CAP and are getting it together. Very soon it's going to be launched. And Paul Taylor, the minister there, he said to me this week, and we're looking for other churches to come alongside us, to help us with caring for people who are in debt. Not putting your hand in your pocket and actually helping them out of debt, although God might lead you that way. But help in some way. So, what can I do, Lord? And as I've said already, it starts where you are with what you have. And sometimes we think, oh, I'm at the beginning of this. I really feel God's got this particular thing for me to do. But I'm not quite sure where to start. I've got to invent the wheel. And can you imagine thinking, oh no, I've got to invent this thing that will help things move on. And you start with a square and you go on to a triangle. But actually someone's already invented it. And so you're struggling along with your triangle or your square wheels, but someone's already got a round one. Yeah? And what I've found is that God links people together. Yeah? It might not necessarily be someone in this church, but God will link people together. I mean, if last week what Gay Jacqueline said really sparked something in your heart, I can give you her email address. So you can say, I don't know what I can do, but I'm willing to help. It might be that you particularly want to do something, and you find out by talking to some people that's on their heart as well, and they're a bit further along the journey, so you could actually come in and help them rather than reinvent the wheel yourself. There's lots and lots of possibilities. And you might say, oh, but I could never do this, get this big organisations going. I mean, yesterday we were listening to the beginnings of Amen and up at River of Life Church. 30 years they've been running. And it started one man helping one family. That's how it started. With a few hundred pounds. And now their income is £250,000 a year. Stunning. You might say, well, I'd really like to talk to people about Jesus, but I'm a bit nervous. You don't have to start like Reinhard Bonnke. Okay? Look at those people. These days we'd say, this has been computer generated, there were actually only four people, but all the rest have been added in. But he got these crowds wherever he went. But you don't have to say, oh, I'm going to have to be like this guy. No. You could do this. You could sit around a table with three friends, or you and your wife or your husband, and sit down with a couple. Come and have a coffee. Share a meal together. Where it starts. It doesn't start with a great big thing, okay? It starts with something small in our hearts. A couple of years ago, 3 years ago now, Jojo came to me, and she was doing a lot of the worship at that time. Jojo came to me and she said, Dad, I don't want to tread on your toes, but I've got the young people burning in my heart. And she was worried that I was going to say, oh, that's what I'm doing. You can't have what I'm doing. I just said, oh, thank you, Lord. and she's now doing the young people. It was just the right time. But it was something that was growing in her heart. When she prayed, that's what was in front of her. What's in front of you? What's God speaking to you? As I said before, it starts where you are with what you have. Okay? Lord, I don't have anything particular at the moment, but I want to serve you in a way that will glorify you. What can I do? Start walking. See who you see. Look at such situations. It could be, it's not for many here, but some people here have got children in school. Could you get involved in school? When our girls were at Heen School over by Victoria Park, I noticed that there wasn't a single man on the staff. Mind you, in those days there were only four classes. But there were no men. And what God put on my heart was to be a Christian man in the school. I started doing assemblies. I joined the governing body, governor for 11 years. Hard work sometimes. But the head teacher said to me one day early on, you're doing a lot for the school at the moment, aren't you, Matthew? I said, yes, I am. But it was deliberate, because I wanted to be a Christian man in the school so the kids could see a Christian man. I had a blast there. I really did. It was so good working in that school. I loved it. What can you do? Go and read. I can't do anything in school, Matthew. You could go to the school and say, you're looking for readers, people to read with the kids. You know, as a parent figure, go in. You've got to do things like DBSs, or no, whatever it's called now. You have to go through that sort of thing. But be willing. School, college, volunteer somewhere. Lord, what do you want me to do? Jojo is in a musical theatre company, and she's using that as an opportunity to speak, not to members of the public, to members of the cast. What's God got for you? What's God got for you? If you feel it's something that we could do together, come and talk. Let's see, explore it together, pray together about it, and see what God wants to happen. Okay? But don't sit in your chair or go home and think, we're never going to do that. You don't know. If God's putting something on your heart, come and talk about it. Because you never know. It might be on other people's hearts as well. And all of a sudden we find that we've got four or five people that actually all say, this is what I want to do. And then we've got the beginnings of something. I'm going to finish there, otherwise I'm just going to repeat myself. What do you want me to do, Lord? Let's pray. Father, you said to your disciples, Lord, that when the Holy Spirit has come, we'll receive power and we will be witnesses to you, Lord. That's what we want to do. We want to be able to be those that point people to you. Whether it be on the street, whether it be in the church building, whether it be in school or whatever, Lord God, we want to ask you, Lord, to open up opportunities for us to point people to you in our day-by-day lives. That's what we want, Lord. We want to be able to point people to you. And Lord, we just look to you, Lord, as part of our wider, Lord, that you will encourage all our hearts to go forward, to look to you, to serve you in these ways. Thank you, Lord God. Amen. Amen. Amen.